Susan Bassnett, in an essay on poetry and translation, said in the first paragraph of that essay, "A great deal of nonsense has been written about poetry and translation, of which probably the best known is Robert Frost's immensely silly remark that poetry is what gets lost in translation." And at the end of that essay, looping back to the beginning, she says, "When the rewriter is perfectly fused with the source, a poem is translated. That this happens so frequently is a cause for celebration. Poetry is not what is lost in translation, it's rather what we gain through translation and translators. And the first celebrant will not be Justin, but will be Ali." So over to you.
Justin will be coming later on, so if you're here to see him, please don't go away, stick around. And I might describe a chair if that's okay, if there's a spare one.
Great,
thanks very much, so cheers. Great, so I thought I'd be going last, so because I have a few depressing things to say. I was hoping I'd be the last one, not to sort of like start the day with some gloomy remarks, but so I'll try to sort of like temper the depressiveness of what I'm about to say. But so I'm basically going to be talking about a little bit about my experience of translating this book, which has just come out, published by ARC Publications in England. I'm not sure if it is or will ever be distributed in Australia, but I have some lovely postcards. I'm just going to pass this around. I don't have enough for everyone to take one. However, if you are actually seriously thinking about buying the book, please keep a card because it has the details for the website where you can purchase a copy from. I'm sure it'll be cheaper on Book Depository. I don't see any royalties from it anyway, so 20 cents or whatever. So I'm not really worried about where you buy it from. So this is a book I'm very proud of. I think the program describes it a little bit. And it is a co-production. And I've worked with John Kinsella to select, translate, and publish this book. And this is my second volume of translation. The first one was one published in 2007 called 50 Poems of Attar, which was 50 Gazelles by a Medieval Poet that I also translated in collaboration with somebody else. Oh, there's a microphone. Great. Okay. Maybe not. Okay, I'm not sure if I can use this. Okay. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Alright, I'll just... If I run out of voice, I'll have to mime the rest. Okay, now, this is obviously a good book. If I were to ask you and I say, I've given about 5 years of my life to doing this while doing other things, you would probably say that's time well spent. It's a good thing. The first ever anthology of Persian poetry from the beginning of the language to today. Not a bad thing. Bilingual, Persian on one side, English on the other. Laboriously translated works. As accurate as possible to both the prosodic and semantic dimensions of the original Persian texts. Would you say that's a good idea? Okay, thank you. Because finally, at this point, I'm not really sure anymore, and I will tell you why. There are obvious positives, I guess, but I think in the light of some of the challenges that I will try to talk about today, and I hope this forum will be one of the ways in which we can talk about those challenges. So if projects like this are worthwhile, then perhaps we can sort of use forums like this as opportunities for brainstorming solutions to some of these challenges. Because at this point, I'm not confident if I will translate another poem for as long as I live. So you can think about whether you want to dissuade me or not. But okay, the positives. I think for me personally, as an emerging writer, the chance of collaborating very closely with a very skilled and established writer such as John Kinsella. It was an amazing honor, and I learned so much from working with him. Now, he's written in this book an introduction in which he talks about our translation process, and that's been separately published in Southerly as well, where we talk about the process. But the process was that basically we had a huge pool of poetry to choose from, the classics as well as the submissions that we received from Iran and from the Iranian diasporas. I would choose the ones that I like. I would do a prose translation of a paragraph or so. I would send it to John. John would choose which ones out of those he would want to then versify. I would then send him very specific notes about the original formal qualities of the original text, the rhyme schemes, the sound devices, and so on. I would send it back to him, and he would turn my prose gloss into a poem that ultimately, after going back and forth a number of times, I made sure is identical, formally, and as discursively close to the original as possible. This was a very arduous process. For poets who are not very much used to editing their work, it could be a challenge. It was for both of us, but I was very fanatical about making sure that these are legitimate translations and not just, imitations or whatever, which would be okay too, but Pink Floyd the Wall, okay. I'm finding it hard to concentrate, but anyway.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's I'm not sure if anyone's translated Pink Floyd's The Wall into Persian. So speaking of popular songs, of course, there's a lot of song, lyrical poetry in this book, translated. So it was a really amazing opportunity for me to work with a poet and learn a lot from that poet while doing it. And seeing his process, seeing how he went about writing and phrasing things, it was a really great sort of mentorship process for me. The other great positive, and I think others here would agree, those of you who've translated, is the opportunity to experiment. Do things that one wouldn't do in their own writing. So, for example, I would never write a quatrain. That's just not what I do. But translating the rubaiyat of a whole bunch of Persian poets, one has to write a quatrain properly. So it was a really great formal experiment for me. Also, one of the things that I really like is writing in the voice of others, especially women. That's something I really like doing. And so translating the work of women poets was very exciting for me to really try to do it well and convincingly. Especially the modern women poets of Iran are the best poets of the language at the moment. And it was very important and exciting for me to kind of have that experiment. And yes, a lot of our poets are also contemporaries with beyond. So we had lots of poets of the medieval era who wrote at the same time as Villon. And it is really exciting to translate medieval poetry. Would you agree, Justin? It's such a completely different mindset. It belongs to another age of thinking about literature, where literature did not represent reality, where literature simulated reality. It was the sheer formalism. I mean, I love medieval poetry, and half of this book is medieval poetry of the canonical names of Persian literature. Those are the positives, and I think there are really valuable positives too. And for those reasons, I was very excited to do this project. I'm very happy, and I think most people would agree today that those are some of the good things. Now, the negatives. Okay, number one, and I feel like I'm alone in this, perhaps among the presenters today, translating from a non-language that does not use a Latin alphabet can be very, very challenging, because when this book comes out, and this is the trend now, they have to be bilingual. You know, English on one side, original language on the other side. Most other translators in this room, their readers will be able to check the basic formal accuracy. For example, does it really rhyme in the original? Oh, yes, it does. Is that really the right word choice, especially with German, for example? You can assess that as Anglophone readers. Most of you, I imagine, couldn't do that here. I'm sorry if I'm being prejudice, but most of you wouldn't be able to do that with our Persian translations. And that is a big block, and I say that as a reader myself, who reads a lot of French poetry. And I'm always looking at the original to see if the translator has done a basically decent job of conveying the accuracy. I can assure you we've done that here, you know, laboriously, painstakingly, but you wouldn't be able to tell. Now, this is a huge barrier for our readers of anthologies like this and for others who translate from Chinese, Russian, a whole range of non-Latin alphabet languages. This brings us to the other problem of finding reviewers. You know, I was talking to my wife and I said, look, so the perfect reviewer for this book is an Anglophone poet who also knows Persian, who's also interested in this stuff. And for the sake of this, there has to be someone in Australia to review it here. And my wife said, that's you. And I said, yeah. I'm a very self-critical person. I can write a damning review of this book, definitely. But nobody else will be, I feel, would, I mean, again, afterwards, tell me if you would feel yourself to be qualified to review this. I believe you all are. But other fears of offending foreigners and caring so much about the cultural sensitivities, and will they block what I would say an authentic engagement with a book like this? That will unfortunately be the case. I'm confident that is the case, although I could be getting overemphasizing this problem. So, okay, let's say we had an Iranian, Anglophone, Iranian, Australian expert who could review this. This is the other problem. If they were to do it, or if they were to talk about it, it is unfortunately a strong likelihood they will attack it for the sake of it because it is their territory. Now, Persian is a properly minor language. There are very few people in the world that speak it. It is a national language. It's only one, in only one country. But look, in Tajikistan and Afghanistan, people speak versions of it. If there are experts of it in the West, they're going to be very territorial, and I bet you they will find problems with our translations. And again, I may be getting too negative and paranoid and cynical, and I probably am all of those things, but I will just tell you that the only email I've had regarding this since it's been out has been from a fellow Iranian westernized scholar in the US who made a point of letting me know that I have misspelled one word. in the Persian. And that's because the modern Google version of Persian script does not have one particular letter of medieval Persian script. For that reason, this person sent me a 3-paragraph email and told me that next time I should ask him to help. So now this is, unfortunately, this is what in anthropology they call lateral violence, intertribal violence. As poets, Australian poets, we're very familiar with that. In multicultural subgroups, it's a little bit out of control because they're very small territories and everybody feels competitive. That was number 3. Should I keep going? Okay, number 4, politics of some of the poets. Now, I'm a very proud atheist and I have no time for theocracy. And I'm something of a socialist communist too. If you're translating medieval Persian poetry, you have to accept that there is somebody up in the sky who made everything happen that year. I can't, and it is hard for me. Now, I'm a very respectable translator. I'm not a postmodernist. When I translate, I try to be very accurate. And it's very hard for me. A part of me is, yes, I can do this as an exercise. There is a god, we call it the beloved in Sufi poetry and so on. Yes, I can do that. But then I ask myself, am I not propagating religion? Because Sufism is ultimately the name given to the friendly face of Islamic proselytizing. Well, that's precisely what it is. Sufi monks were at the forefront of spreading Islam in Anatolia, in the Middle East. If the sword didn't do it, then the poetry was supposed to convince people to convert to Islam. Now, I'm translating this sort of stuff, and I'm a very, very strong atheist, and I have moral issues with that, and political issues, because, you know, me and my family left Iran precisely to get away from Islam and Islamism. So what am I doing here? I have some moral problems with that, perhaps an ethical problems with that. Again, if you have any solutions to it, let me know. Number 5, this will come up today. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but lack of recognition of translation as a serious literary activity by the literati, academia, and so on. Now, this is not 100% the case. Today, in the age, of course, we had a poem translated from Chinese published, which is excellent. Some publications, like the age, do a very good job of it. The journal Southerly occasionally has a special issue dedicated translation. That may or may not be a case of ghettoization, I'm not sure, but it is there. But there are many journals and publishers and funding bodies who do not touch translations. And I'll give you one example of a journal, established journal, which said to me that we will not publish these poems because we have money from the government to publish Australian poems. And I said, wait a minute, despite my name and everything else, I'm an Australian, and these have been co-translated with John Cancilla, and he really is Australian. And they said, they thought about it, they said, no, we've had a meeting about it, and we decided this is not Australian. Can't publish it. And of course, in academia, we don't get any points for translating. Well, if we do, it's torturous. But it's probably, at any rate, it's not considered to be proper literary activity in some sense of the word. And number six, it is really difficult to translate. Translation is very difficult. And I would sometimes, when I think about the time and energy and effort I put into translating that I could have put into writing my own whatever, I sort of wonder if this is well spent. And finally, that will do. I really feel like, I hope this is not, I'm not seeming pessimistic about it. I mean, this is my second volume, so this is something obviously I'm passionate about, and I'm very appreciative of others who do it and others who run symposia addressing the issues to do with translation. And I hope this kind of forum is precisely the space in which we can talk about these problems. But these are real issues, and I can assure you that I'm not making them up. They're real concerns for me personally. In conclusion, since my negatives have outweighed the positives, I'm at a position now where I have to say I probably won't translate any more poetry. Would you like to change my mind? Thank you very much.